picking up on the theme, the upward call, or moving upwards, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus," Philippians 3:14. Jesus Christ was everything to the Apostle. He lived and breathed and ate for Christ. And the Olympians in Paul's day, and this is the scene he's picking up here, and because we're right in the throes of Olympics, and so I know it's on all of your minds, but the Olympians in Paul's day, when they won their event, would be called to go up many steps up to where the president of the Olympic Games would be sitting to get their prize. And it was an honor, a tremendous honor, to be called upward to the president's stand in order to receive the prize. Back in those days, you either won or you lost. There was no first, second, or third. I'm looking forward to the days when everybody who runs in the race wins, because that's the culture we live in. It's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, that's not going to happen. Hopefully, that will never happen. But as we begin a new year, I want to call you as a church to press on, to become all that God would want you to be. And as I call you to that, I'm calling you to consider this morning Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Have you ever lost a page of your notes? I have. Great. That's the Lord. Sovereignty right there. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at this section, and this is really, if I was to define this, I would say that Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 gives us a definition of the church by way of function. A definition of the church. What is the church? What is Hickman Church? It's not just a place you come to on a Sunday to get a religious feeling. It's not just a club you join and attend from time to time. Hickman Community Church is a body of believers who have been united in Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and we are intricately and intimately connected spiritually through Christ. We are His body, His family, His people. And we share in this body one with the other. But what do we do? What are we about here at Hickman Community Church? And there's really no better place to look at this outworking of what the church is by way of function than to look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Read with me, and we'll break this down fairly rapidly here this morning. Dr. Luke writes, and he says, they were, speaking of the early church, the 3,000 souls that have been gathered through the preaching of Peter's message, and just there was a great influx of people putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What we have before us here in this passage are six descriptive functions of the church. And I just want to call you to these. If you are pressing on to the upward call of God in Christ, these functions need to be part of your life, part of who you are as an individual member of this church. And the first function is Christ-centered worship. Christ-centered worship. Christ-centered worship. We see in the phrases, devoting themselves, feeling a sense of awe, with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. All of these elements of what we just read was going on in the early church is an act of worship. It's driven by a desire to declare the worthiness of Christ and the worthiness of God in His salvation. We could title this or call this exaltation. exaltation. In other words, we exalt Christ. And as I go through this, I want to give you a little understanding of our new logo. And so you'll see there's a dot on the screen. That's the very central part of the logo. It's the bullseye. It's the focal point. When you look at our new logo, this is the focal point. And just as the church is to worship God, it's to have God as the focal point, so our logo represents that as well. Now, we worship by paying homage to and ascribing worth to God through Christ. And the church, as we know, exists for the praise and the glory of God. So pressing towards the upward call means that we seek then to have as our focal point, the focal point of our life, the exaltation of God in everything that we do, say, and think. It is being conformed and living our lives for none other than Jesus Christ. Just ask yourself this morning, is that true of you as one who attends Hickman Community Church? Is it true of your life over the past week? Has God been the focal point, the purpose, the reason? Has Christ been the one that you have set your mind on and lived for and served? Or has the world won your attention and your affections? Or your children, or your wife, or your husband, or your job, or your career, or your studies? What sucks the life out of you every week? We need to be those who are focused on Christ and declaring the worthiness of who He is by giving ourselves up to Him. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Well, the second descriptive function that we see is Christ-centered service. Christ-centered service. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. These people were serving one another. And wouldn't it be awesome to come and be a part of a church where you experience that reality, where when you have a need, someone reaches out and helps meet that need? Not so long ago, my future son-in-law's car exploded into a million pieces. Not quite, but it stopped. It died. And someone just reached out and gave him a car to fill in until he could buy another vehicle. That's serving one another. That's meeting one another's needs. Now, if you're to be a part of that, there's a greater blessing to give than to receive, right? There is a blessing in receiving, but there's also a greater blessing to give. But if you want to be a part of that, you need to be here. You need to get to know people. You need a fellowship with people. How do you know to give and meet a need if you don't know the person has a need? And so the church is a community of people who share in one another's lives, and we live to serve one another. Listen, Paul wrote in Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brethren, only don't use your freedom and turn it into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. This is a mark of a healthy church. A healthy church is the community of people that serve one another. And so we have what I've called, this would be called edification, but we have in our logo the inward pieces, the pieces that are shaped pointing inwards. I just call them the inward points. And they speak to us ministering to each other, taking responsibility to look out for and support and pray and bear one another's burdens and so on. And so the key question out of this is, can you say, let me ask you this, can you say that Hickman Community Church is stronger because of your service in the last week? How would you answer that? If I was to ask you personally, is your commitment, can you say that your commitment to Christ-centered service at this church means that the church, Hickman Community Church, is stronger because of your service? Every one of us should be able to say yes. Donald Whitney likens those who attend church but don't serve in the church to what nutritionists call empty calories. In order for these calories to be processed, the body must use some of its nutritional resources. Yet empty calories do little or nothing to nourish the body in return. And so the goal for each one of us should be to serve in the church in such a way that it becomes stronger as a result of us being here. This is what it means to press forward towards the upward call of God. Paul was a great example to that. Thirdly, third descriptive function we find in Acts 2 is Christ-centered fellowship. Christ-centered fellowship. They were devoting themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer, and the believers were together and having all things in common. We could call this encouragement. Encouragement. And again, the inward points of our logo represent that encouragement. Fellowship is the common faith and experiences and expressions shared by the family of believers, as well as the intimate relationship that we have with God in Christ. The word fellowship is first and foremost a verb. It's something we do. We fellowship. But secondly, it describes who we are. We are the fellowship of believers, those who are connected to Christ. We are those who share in common the life of Christ. We are partnered together in Him for His purposes. This means that the church is a community of people tightly knitted together around Christ, encouraging one another, and all the more as we see that day, that evil day, and all the more as we look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can I serve? I don't know how to serve. Listen, if you're a believer, at conversion, the Holy Spirit gave you a gift, a spiritual gift, and He wants you to exercise that gift. It could be the gift of encouragement. It could be the gift of mercy. It could be the gift of helps and service. It could be the gift of teaching. It could be the gift of... if I run out? No, there's another one. It could be any of those gifts, right? It could be a combination of those gifts. But somewhere in that mix, you've been gifted. You're uniquely gifted. And Hickman Community Church, because God has sovereignly brought you here, needs you. We need you to exercise that gift. Listen, we all stand or fall together. And so Christ-centered fellowship is, again, so important. We're not alone in this process. We're a part of a community, and pressing towards the upward call of God means that we must actively fellowship with and fellowship with one another. So the church then becomes a place where we find support and we find encouragement to live out the Christian life. It's where we are stirred on. It's where we are stimulated to love and good deeds by others, as Hebrews 10:24 calls us to. This is why I must not forsake the gathering together of others, the gathering together with others in the church, as some are in the habit of doing so. We need to be set apart through this process for the glory of God. The fourth descriptive function in Acts 2:42-47 is Christ-centered discipleship. It says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. We could call this equipping. This is the equipping that we're a part as a church. We're about the business of equipping. Not only are we exalting the Lord, edifying the saints, encouraging one another, but we are equipping. We're an equipping community. And again, this is an inward focus. It's equipping the saints for the works of service, as Ephesians 4:11 calls us to. Discipleship can be formal. It could be informal. But it speaks to the process of instilling godly qualities and helping that individual instill godly qualities in their lives or in their life. It has as its goal the equipping of believers to be able to make those believers stand firm and to skill them, to upskill them, to do whatever task it is that God has called them to, whether it's parenting or whether it's being a mother or a father or a husband or a wife or a child even. How do I as a child live out my life to the glory of God in my family? Listen, to walk in love as you're commanded to walk in light as you're commanded to walk in wisdom as you're commanded to in Ephesians 5 is not easy. It's not easy, and you can't do this on your own. This requires discipline. It requires the work of God in your life, and God has chosen the means of that. Part of that process is the community of the church discipling one another. Now, this is why we offer home groups, equipping hour classes, generation of grace classes, men's and women's discipleship, ISI, family camp, pulpit preaching. All of this is a collective of of truth that's being born and taught and instruction being given for the purpose of equipping you as individuals to the works that God has prepared beforehand for us to do. It's the works of service. You could call that the works of worship. And this is the way that we grow and mature. So pressing on to the upward call of God in Christ means that you will discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness by placing yourself under the regular teaching and accountability of God's word and the influence of more mature teachers and leaders. Listen, I'm not against you listening to CDs or preachers online. I'm not against that at all. Get it all. Get all of that. But what I'm against is people that's all they do. Because there's no accountability in that. Listen, I've known people who've told me to my face here at Hickman Church. They no longer come here, thankfully. But they've told me to my face, well, I don't need to go to church on Sunday because I can sit and listen to the best teachers in the world. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But those people don't go to church anywhere. When I say thankfully, I don't mean that, and I'm glad they're not here. I wish they were here doing what was right and honoring God. But I mean that they are so deceived that if they were here, they would deceive others. That's how deceived they are. They think that they're doing well in the Lord, yet they're never in a church. Their families are in a mess right now. The husband and wife don't communicate with each other. It's a shambles. And I've pled with them and I've begged with them to come back and be a part of what God has called them to in Christ. This is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What are they pursuing? They're pursuing themselves. And that's the danger of being an online Christian. That brings me to the next descriptive function, and that's that we are called, and we see here in the early church, to Christ-centered outreach. We are to be committed to Christ-centered outreach. This is what we would call evangelism. And on our logo, this is the 4 points. This is the, if you like, the 4 points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. We are commissioned by Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of who? All the nations. That means north, south, east, and west, and all the points in between, we need to be going out. So we've gone from a focus point on Jesus Christ and God, that is worship. We've gone to the inward look, the equipping aspect and the encouraging aspect and the edifying aspect of the church. And now we are looking at the outward, the sending, the going out, the scattering part of the church. Each one of us has families, has jobs. Each one of us is busy during the week to go out. And it says here, God was, as a result of what was happening in these individuals' lives, God was adding to their number day by day those who are being saved. You say, well, God was doing that, so I can just cruise. No. No, God does it when you open your mouth and you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and the saving work that he did at the cross. We are called to love people with the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation, nothing else. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. But listen, if you're pressing forward towards the upward call of God, then you will be opening your mouth and being witnesses to the saving work of Jesus Christ on your behalf. I've been so encouraged as we've been going through the book of Romans to see how many of you have been taking those messages and not just applying them to your own life, but you're using those messages to reach out to others. May the Lord open many, many doors for you, and may he fill this church with people seeking Christ. By the way, we have coming up next trimester evangelism training during the equipping hour, and this is going to be a wonderful time together. It's going to be practical. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to enjoy our learning time there, but we're doing all of this for the glory of God. So when you take these six descriptive functions, exaltation, edification, encouragement, equipping, and evangelism, that's who God says we are to be. This is what it means to press towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't save us to sit on our chuffs and do nothing. He saved us to do good works and to minister his work on his behalf as his ambassadors and his servants. And so this morning, as I close here, would you make a commitment this morning with me? Would you consider making this commitment? Oh, I missed the last one, entreaty. You're all smiling. Christ-centered prayer, right? It says concerning prayers that these people devoted themselves to prayer, Christ-centered prayer is what we could call entreaty. Now, we're not informing God of anything when we pray because he knows it all. But we're entreating God because our God is the God of all wisdom, all grace, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. And he says, ask and it shall be what? Given to you. And so as I finish here this morning, would you make a commitment to these six descriptive functions? Would you make a commitment this morning to exhortation, edification, encouragement, equipping, evangelism, and entreaty? Would you support the testimony of this church? Would you commit to that, to support the testimony of this church by attending church services, guarding the truth, living a godly life, giving cheerfully and regularly? Would you commit to protect the unity of the church by acting in love towards other members in the church, by refusing to gossip, by being a peacemaker, respectfully following the leaders and humbly submitting to the process of church discipline, should you find yourself there? Would you commit this morning to share in the responsibilities of the church? I just talked about the six functions. They're all there. Would you commit to that? And say, Lord, I want to give myself to these areas, to whatever areas that you can be absolutely committed to pray for its churches, for the church's growth, to share the gospel, to evangelize, to win people to Christ, to worship, to encourage, to equip, to establish people. And fourthly, would you commit this morning to serve the ministry of Hickman Community Church? I want to ask the question again as we close. Would your service to Hickman Community Church this last week mean that the church is better off? That it's been built up, that it's been strengthened. May God help us to be able to answer that in the affirmative. Join me in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessing of it. God, you are so precious. You are so good. You have called us to yourself through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, you have commissioned us to go into all the world and make disciples. Father, build your church. Lord Jesus, we know you've promised the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And so, Father, would you find in us a willingness this morning to make that commitment to support, to protect, to share, and to serve in the ministry of Hickman Community Church. God, would you bless the families that are here? We thank you for this day. We thank you for the promotion, Lord God, that it brings. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call Daryl to come up and Andrew. I've just asked these men to pray for us, and then you guys can stay there. And then we're going to sing our final song, which is a great song because it calls us to the blessings, the many blessings that we have to thank and glorify God for. Thank you, man.